Welcome to Awakening Spirituality and Business Today, inspiring you to succeed with all your heart and soul. Your hosts today are Daniel Gutierrez, international business consultant, motivational speaker, and best-selling author, and Johnny Hernandez, proven business executive, passionate life and business coach, and founder of Living with Purpose, whose mission is to inspire teams and individuals to achieve their personal and professional best. Together, they'll light the path to help you achieve your absolute best. Without further ado, let's turn it over to Daniel and Johnny for today's illuminating discussion.
Well, in my head, welcome everybody, in my head I had this, hey, we're the monkeys. I have no idea where that came from, but I had to say it.
One of us.
You know what I'm talking about, right? The monkeys?
I know. Of course.
Not you and I. Anyway, welcome to the show, folks. Today we're talking. Speaking of, we're talking about mindful communication, and I want to start out. I'm here with my co-host Johnny Hernandez. I want to start out with a story. This happened to me yesterday, and if you follow me on Facebook, if you follow me on Twitter, if you follow me on Instagram, anywhere, you're going to see this article that I just published. This called Corporate Mindfulness. It's not just a passing fad. And what happened yesterday, and Johnny, you'll appreciate this, and we can talk about it, is that I was in a conversation with a friend of mine, and I was telling him that this business partner of mine had not been responding to my emails. And so I had sent this really snooty, harsh email about professionals and being busy, and we're all busy, and you should answer my email. And my friend, Johnny, we all need friends like this, stops me mid-sentence and says, hey, do you mind if I share something with you right now? And I said, well, sure. He says, the Daniel that I met in New York last year, the spiritual leader, the calm, the kind of mindful person, that's the only person I know. But the person you're showing up to right now and the person you showed up in that email is not that person. It's the old corporate Dan that's manipulating people through your email. And I almost fell over, Johnny. I almost fell over.
You know, Daniel, that's crazy you said that, because I read that on LinkedIn. I didn't realize you were talking about yourself.
Yes, it was me. This happened to me yesterday. And so I'm sitting there thinking to myself, holy moly. And I thanked him. I said, it's a gift that you can actually do that. I said, I really appreciate you telling me that. So I went back to make the right wrong, the wrong right, and I sent an email and got a phone call with this person. And come to find out, he says, no, we were actually in the wrong. We should be answering your email. So that's not the point. The point was that I could have been a lot more mindful in the way that I communicated with you. And so, you know, it just so happens today we have this mindful communication. This happened to me yesterday. And what happened in a moment of letting my guard down, I immediately went back to that hustle and bustle corporate Dan that was just not paying attention to the way that I write emails, but being very harsh about it, because somehow in my crazy mind, I felt you owe me. And that's what, you know, I wrote that article today because I feel that in, just like you, Johnny, we always tell people we're human too. Because we teach this stuff doesn't mean that we're not privy to the human condition and that we don't fall back into our old habits. And that was a moment of unclarity and clarity all at the same time, that I had lost my way in that moment and made it right. I went back and made it right and apologized for it. But corporate mindfulness, folks, and mindful communication is not a passing fad. It's not a flavor of the month. This is here to stay. This is a corporate and business culture that may take longer to come about, but it's going to come about. But anyway, that article was written about something that happened to me yesterday.
Mm-mm-mm. You know, and by the way, it was a great article.
Thank you.
I put a comment on there. I said amen. But what I think, you know, Dan, you say this is not a passing fan. I think what we better understand is this is much more than business. Our society depends upon it. And
yes.
I'm going to use an example. You know, we hear about peer pressure all the time, and we always use children as the example. And I would tell you, if you can't think of an example now, keep this in the back of your mind. And as you go through your day, your weeks, your months, the next 12 months, I want you to think about instances where you have found yourself in circles, doesn't even have to be business, can be social circles, the gym, anywhere, where you find yourself in circles with people that may not think like you think most of the time. So let's just say, let's just use an example. Let's just say you don't curse, right? You don't cuss, right? And you start hanging around in this circle. You're going out for drinks, maybe with people you don't normally go out with, or people that are that you would say are acquaintances. And you go out with them five nights in a row. You go out and have drinks, and they cuss like sailors. It's only a matter of time, no matter how much you try, before you start taking on those similar behaviors.
Mm.
And pretty soon, your spouse, your significant other, is going to say, "My gosh, where did that language come from? I haven't heard that in a while." This is no different than a corporate environment. When you work in a corporate environment that you work for a leader or an environment of leadership that may not necessarily be morally, I'm not saying morally superior, but let's just say the upper 10%, 20% echelon, may not necessarily live by, if your organization has strong values, may not live by the values or practice strong ethics, it's a matter of time. And this goes back to when we talk about, you know, we talk so much about energy and people like, oh, my gosh, you know, hippies, Southern California. No, that's not right. No, what I'm talking about is when you hang around people, if you're trying to better yourself, you're trying to be more mindful, more caring, more loving, more kind, more patient, more supportive. You know, it's two of the three most important things you can do in life is being generous and be forgiving. And if you're going to be generous and forgiving, that permeates everything you do. Now, if you start hanging around in circles, and work is a circle, with people that are not as generous or generous when it benefits them or forgiving and pardoning when it benefits them, you will take on those behaviors. It's inevitable.
Mm.
Unless you make a stand and say, I'm sorry, when I see this behavior, I'm going to say something. Or if I don't have the guts to say it, you better have the guts to leave that environment and or that company because it's only a matter of time. So when you talk about mindful communication, it's thoughtful, it's caring, it's loving, it's all of those things that we just talked about before. So I commend you for picking up the phone because that in itself, Daniel, is growth. That's growth in all of us. And there's a lot of people I know out there that would want to make that call. They would realize and it bothered them when they get home, but they wouldn't have the courage to actually make that phone call for fear of feeling like they looked like they did something stupid, they were wrong, or they failed. So good for you.
Well, thank you for that. And I think it comes, Johnny, as a practice, right? That's why they call it a practice, because it's practice. And none of us are – when it comes to mindfulness, and there's so many different areas of mindfulness. You can answer the phone mindfully. You can walk mindfully. You can hug mindfully. But this area of communication, it's one that obviously I missed altogether. I never thought twice, by the way, to call and apologize. That was just the first thing that popped into my head was, wow, I was really not a good person. And it didn't matter whether I was right or wrong. I didn't have to do that. And you're right. If we're running a big organization and we're running a big company and this is the way we treat our subordinates, then what makes you think they're not going to treat their subordinates that way? You know, we've seen that so many different times. So thank you for saying that. At the same time, I think it's just part of the life choice I've made in teaching. And it was really funny because all of a sudden I felt like, oh, you might want to do what you teach, right? There's got to be some action behind the lip service. And I think that's kind of what I was getting at in the article. And I hope you guys will all look it up. And it was just saying that this way of life, and I like what you said about this. Our basic humanity depends on it. We're in a space in our world that's very turbulent. It's very turbulent, and there are many people out there that would love to get us distracted in doing the things that don't bring us peace and tranquility. And as I said in the bottom of that particular article, is that corporate mindfulness or mindful communication statistically is showing an increase in profits for companies that embrace it support it and create programs within their companies. And I'm not just talking, by the way, folks, Facebook and Google, who are over here on the West Coast. People tend to look at those companies and go, oh, yeah, they just don't know what's up. You know, they do know what's up. And Facebook recently was in the papers just yesterday about how happy their employees are. And, you know, but we've got companies like Aetna and Target and companies like big companies that are embracing this, Mercedes-Benz. These are companies that are embracing this methodology of allowing people to connect to their humanness. And the results, now, I don't want to be totally focused just on profits, but it is a added benefit. Let me put it that way. It's an added benefit to the end, to the person that is getting the benefit of being in more peace and tranquility. And quite honestly, Johnny, the fact that I did apologize to this guy and I called him made me feel better, because I didn't have to think or wonder, uh-oh, if he doesn't answer. Because what about if he doesn't answer? Then it's in your mind all day long, like, oh, I shouldn't have done that. And then you know how those add up, right?
That's right. It's scary, you know, as you think about companies, and you named just some great companies right there, it's almost like the whole diversity conversation. If people get wrapped up in the what, you know, the tangible what versus the subjective what. So let's just use that as an example. So, you know, when they say, well, I want to be a mindful organization, so we're going to start and dedicate an office during the day during this hour, so people that want to come in together, let's say pray together, right, a spiritual group. And we're going to do one that's just say we're going to create an area for yoga. We're going to have one that does meditating. So we're going to create all these programs that do that, right? And it's very similar to why, again, it's the parallel of diversity. And then as soon as things get tight, there's, you know, the company needs to tighten up the belt. They're publicly held. They got a reporter. They got to do all these things. Okay, what's the first thing to go? What are the things that are not essential? Well, they cut these, and you say, well, so I thought you were trying to take a more mindful approach. Well, we tried it, but we had to budget the budget, right?
That's flavor of the month.
Right. That's not what this is. Right?
No.
When you talk about these companies, why are these companies, the companies that are figuring this out, that are sticking with it, are realizing there's a correlation to, there's a financial correlation when they do things like this. But what they're finding out is what they don't, most of them don't realize when they begin this, is they start taking a look at employee perspectives, employee loyalty, employee viewpoint, things like that, and they're all like, oh, my gosh, what's happening? Our employees all of a sudden are giving us rave reviews, or they seem to be more pleased. We're receiving the highest reviews we ever have from our own employees, and it's all the same thing. It's very difficult for a leadership team who doesn't have a C-suite leadership team, or doesn't have directors, senior directors, VPs, you know, just supervisors in their organization that can influence at a higher level, because mindful leadership and mindful communication is a characteristic of a great company. It's a characteristic of a great leader, but it has to be a characteristic of a great company. And that means it's not necessarily about just yoga, meditation, all those formal courses that we do. It's how we interact with each other. It goes back to what you said yesterday. It's how I respect you when I communicate with you. It's how you respect me. It's how we know when it's times that we can look past maybe some of our shortcomings. And instead of roll my eyes, talk about you by the water cooler, instead it's reaching out, right? And it's being and it's going over the top and saying, how can I help you, Daniel? Like, even when you work in a different department or we're competing, that's mindfulness. And that's when a company starts coming together. It's that oneness that all of a sudden you start asking yourself, why are our profits up? Why are our comp numbers up 20% and profits up 5% this year over last or this month over last? And you start drawing those correlations. You're like, you know what? People are starting to feel better about actually working here. And it's just, it's so hard to get people to understand this, because you're saying, well, what's the ROI? And it's so subjective, and I've yet to see it.
Oh, that's a tough one.
Yeah, I try to do my own amount of research, but it's tough. So what's my ROI if I invest in this space? Well, I can tell you what it's going to cost you if you don't.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah, turnover.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's,
you know,
exactly right.
It's interesting, because I for those of you that are listening in and maybe even for a moment entertaining the idea of what it would look like to bring a Johnny or a me into your companies, I think there's a three-prong approach to mindfulness, period, mindful leadership. And that is that high-level conversation with the C-suite that is more indicative of a conversation about neuroscience and how it shifts the thought process of the brain and the neurons that fire off and the human behavior behind it. The second level is the management group that is more about understanding mindfulness from a teaching perspective. And then there's the third level, which is the workforce, that then is the implementer of the ideas of day-to-day activity through mindfulness communication and mindful leadership. These are the things that we look at when we look at a company that may not be practicing or not understanding mindful leaders. Different ways to understand it, but the very basic thing that Johnny was saying about how the company reacts or acts around, and we've been talking about communication, and email has been the kind of the focus. It starts with you, the individual, and every company needs a champion. But I want to go back to the beginning of the conversation and reiterate: this is not a passing fad, a flavor of the month. I remember working for a big company and being asked to read books. I mean, the one that sticks in my head was the Way of the Buffalo. Remember that book, Johnny?
The Way of the Buffalo, yeah.
Remember that book?
Yeah.
And it was a great book. It's basically, you know, are your employees going to follow you off the mountain or are they not, you know? And at the end of the day, those were passing fads and management styles. What we're talking about is something that's very personal and something that is a practice, not a fad. It's a practice for living that happens to gives the business more benefit because we spend 73% of our waking hour at work. So the benefactor of a mindful employee or a mindful person is the business, because that's where we spend most of our time. I never even thought of it until I said it that way. But if we're mindful and we're good people, the result is that will translate itself into a more productive employee, therefore higher profits, therefore employees that aren't jumping from job to job. What do you think about that?
I think it's about dead on. And it's what's fascinating. Let's just say you're a company that employs, let's just say, 100 employees. You're a leader that has 100 employees in your organization. What's important to understand, which we never go this deep, is that you yourself, forget what your business does, you yourself help shape the future of what our world looks like by those 100-plus, because there's turnover, by those 100-plus lives that you touch on a regular basis. Because, first of all, when you are the boss, there's a natural credibility that comes with it. So it's almost like when they snap the line, you're the boss, you have the highest level of respect that you're going to get from an employee, and there's two ways that can go. It can either go, it can drop like a rock, because the more they get to know you, the more they realize that you're not a strong leader, or it can improve. And I would hope if that's the case, as it improves, they look to you as a role model. And when you've been blessed with the gift to lead, or the financial whereabouts to own your own business, you have a responsibility, not just to those individuals, but in my opinion, to the broader society, to help shape stronger human beings, more thoughtful human beings, more caring human beings. Because here's the other trick to it. If you're not that way at work, I don't care what your kids say, no matter how much they love you, you're not that way at home. if you want your children to grow up to be thoughtful, kind, generous, and forgiving, then they better see it at home. And they better see it when they're sitting in the car with you and you're having a work conversation. I mean, it permeates everything. There is no such person that can behave one way at home and then flip a switch and behave the other way. A fake is a fake, and no matter how good you think who you think you're fooling, the only person you're fooling is you, because the conversation at the water cooler isn't about how screwed up the company is, it's how much of a fake the leader is. And so you can't live by a double standard. And so when I say it truly comes down to who you are. And the other thing is, none of us are perfect. Dan, you just gave an example yesterday where you slipped. I can give examples, you know, probably even more recently than that. And but you know what? We're work in progress. But whether it's a good book, whether it's reaching out and, you know, reaching out to the guys like you and myself looking for help with you individually or as an organization, whatever it is, none of us are lost causes. That's the most wonderful thing about our existence on life. We're never a lost cause. And you know, I would challenge you to do some gut checks. Talk to those people that, like you did yesterday, Daniel, that are confidants, trusted confidants, that will be honest with you and ask them some of the tough questions. On a scale of 1 to 10, how would you put me in the scale of generosity? Use the example we used on last week's call. You know, when you're starting to write your own eulogy, what will people say about you? You know, that's what we're talking about. I mean, what kind of human being are you in terms of your actions, your thoughts, and your words? Don't say that you're incredibly loyal to your wife, you love her with all your heart, unconditionally, and that you'll never leave here. And when you're sitting out with the guys at the bar, some gal goes by, you smack them on the floor and say, check her out as she's walking by. That's not cool, right? That's not my, that's the audio doesn't match the video. And I guess that's what I'm saying, especially those of us who've been blessed to lead. People are looking to us for guidance, and especially those who are younger, they're looking to you as a role model, and they will watch you, and they will take your behaviors, and based on that, they will make a decision. And from those decisions, they will behave either a similar or they will choose not to follow you because they don't respect your behaviors.
I like that. I think that what you said, I want to give people a tool or tools. Maybe we can come up with some ways, Johnny, that we can help people. But this is very simple. Before you communicate, if I'd have thought about this before I did. So, by the way, let me tell you when I sent that email. It was 9 o'clock at night. I was tired, and I was on the couch. I was in no frame of mind to be sending anyone any email at that time of the evening, considering that I get up at 5 in the morning. So what I'm going to say is that had I been more mindful, I would have waited till morning. I would have thought it through, and I would have taken a deep breath before I wrote the email. Then I would have went back and read the email, and if I still didn't know if I was being mindful in the way that I was communicating, I would have sent it to Johnny or somebody and say, do you think I'm being too tough here? And so one of the ways that, you know, that's one of the ways that we can be mindful in our communication. Take a pause. It's kind of like we were talking about mindful, entering the phone mindfully. Let it ring. Take a deep breath. Gather your thoughts and then answer. And I think communication is the same way. We're so used to firing back. You know, Stephen Covey used to say, listening with the intent to reply, right?
Yeah.
I'm already thinking about how I'm going to blast you before I even listen to a word you said, you know? And so anyway, any other ways that you can think of, Johnny, that a person can be more mindful in their communication style or the way they communicate?
Yeah. I think what I think about, I think those are great points. I think when you understand that any behavioral change or any progress that you make requires a high level of discipline, and it requires a certain degree of failure, right? Anything, the old saying, anything worth doing is worth doing 100%, or sticking with it. So automatically know that you're going to slip and you're going to fall. And I'll use an example. I'll use myself this morning. So right now, it's fair to say I have a full plate. We'll just leave it at that. And I woke up this morning, woke up early like I normally do. I knew I needed to exercise. I knew I wanted to go to church. I wanted to sit down and I wanted to do some reading before I jumped into it. So the first thing I did was something that I try to always avoid. It's as soon as I get up, I opened my email.
Get to death.
And there they are, right? That you open up the screen and there it is, a whole bunch of emails with flames coming off them because everything's on fire and everything needs to be looked at or someone wants to have a conversation right now. And I realize when I do that, it immediately derails me from the peace I have when I first get up, because my routine is I try to stay in such as much of a peaceful mindset as I can to get through, let's just say my prayers, go to mass, and I get done. And then I feel like mentally, emotionally, psychologically, I am prepared to then take on these other things. So what ends up happening then is I see myself checking out the emails, going through that information, and then I find myself, okay, you know what, I'm going to respond to this one real quick. Then I'm looking through my phone while I'm doing this. I'm trying to get myself organized for the day. Next thing I realize is like, oh, my gosh, I got to hustle up. I got to get cleaned up. I'm going to make it to church. So there's two things that I missed there this morning I didn't get done because I allowed myself, I allowed that discipline that I try so hard to stick to slide. And in doing so, some of those things that helped make me a mindful leader were sacrificed. That can't happen. Now, there are exceptions to every rule. I get it. We all get it. But we're all work in progress. You have to have some sort of discipline, some sort of, let's just say, planner, for lack of a better word. But you have to have a plan and a strategy as to how you're going to do it. If it's committed to personal development through reading, then schedule certain times to read. It goes back to what our show was last week. And if it's going back, if it's going for walks, if it's meditating, go for yoga, if it's like you do, go walk several miles in the park. Those are the things you can never deviate from, because that's what brings you the peace that allows you to, when you do engage with another human being, it allows you to engage with them on a more peaceful level, a more peaceful plane. When you skip those things, that's what creates all the free. That's what creates the you know, what the hell.
Or
are
you if
doing?
You don't even have it at all. Some people don't even have those practices.
No.
You know,
no,
and the reason why, right. I think that there's such a huge corporate burnout. I mean, how many people actually do that? I mean, I just recently got into practice. I mean, I'm walking 46 miles a week. And I can't tell you that health-wise, I'm sure it's doing me good, but mentally it's doing me even more.
That's right.
It's doing me even more good.
Doing you good mentally, the fact that mentally it's doing you well, it can't help but make you a healthier human being, your heart, your pulse, everything. You just, guy, I would challenge you to do this. Take three people that you would consider what I would call are Zen. That you're like, wow, just look at the peace and serenity. Even when you see them on TV, right? You can't use the Pope because we know that where the Pope's peace comes from, right? But right, you're going to find some real common themes. Just trust me. There's a cheater, a little bit of a hint. But pick three to people, maybe no more than five people that you perceive or you know that you would consider very, very much at peace. Dalai Lama may be an example, right? And then take those people and do some research to see what they do. The last thing I would say is this. For Pete's sakes, don't allow yourself to be caught up in what you see on the TV, because the problem when you do that is when that happens, it's not good. It's because all the stuff on the TV you see is just, it's harmful.
I agree. Well, folks, can you believe it's already been 30 minutes, Johnny? It's over. It is over. Ya se acabó. It's it. Hey, hey, with a monkey, should we end that way? Anyway, folks, we hope you had we brought you some information around mindful communication. And as always, you know, please write us, call us, engage with us. This is a show we bring to you about things that we think are important in the area of spiritual business or spirituality in business. And mindfulness is a huge, huge topic, and it's not going away. It is something that it is the last frontier of our ability as businesses to find a way to increase profits. And it goes back to the way that we started many, many, many years ago in the early 1900s, and that is that the employee comes first. Have a beautiful, blessed day, and until next week, have a great day.
You've been listening to Awakening Spirituality in Business Today with Daniel Gutierrez and Johnny Hernandez. To provide feedback, listen to more episodes, or learn how Daniel and Johnny can help you in your business, visit their websites at livingwithpurpose.today or danielgutierrez.com. You can also call them directly at 1-805-764-1463. Thank you again for listening. The personal fulfillment and professional success you've been searching for is within your reach. Lead with your heart and live a life of purpose today.